Okay, let's try this again. This is a podcast about theology. This is Christianity Talks. I forgot to say what the podcast name was. I'm supposed to introduce it in the beginning, according to some rules and some book I read. Anyway, this is a podcast about theology, culture, life, and mostly the Bible. I would say mostly the Bible. Anyway, in this episode, I want to talk about Genesis chapter 31, a story of Laban, Jacob, Rachel, Leah. If you are not familiar with the story of Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Laban, I will summarize it for you. So Jacob goes to work for Laban in exchange for the hand of Rachel. Back then, this was like the way of paying a dowry. I think some people call it a bride price, which is what you pay your in-laws. If you're a guy, you pay the in-laws a price. When you want to marry a woman, in the event that something happens to the marriage, so she's not like left in economic problems. So he falls in love with Rachel. He sees her. He's like, oh my goodness, this is the woman of my dreams. And he works 7 years for the right to marry her. But Laban is a nightmare employer. After 7 years of just trickery and foolishness on the wedding day, he refuses Jacob the right to marry Rachel. Instead, he gives Jacob his daughter, Leah, who is the older one. And so he has to work another 7 years so that he can marry Rachel. And so after 14 years, and probably much longer than that, he decides he's had enough, okay? So he leaves and he tells Rachel and Leah, who are his wives by now, that he's going. He's going to sneak out under the cover of darkness because this is the kind of man he's dealing with, okay? Laban is crazy, obviously. He's trying to escape a bad job. And what do you do? Like, if you have a really nightmare employer, you might not give 2 weeks' notice. You might just bounce. So in Genesis 31, we read, when Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. This is 31:19. She takes the household gods of Laban because she knows they're about to run from him in the middle of the night. Okay, she knows the plan. And this is the point I want to get to. Rachel stealing these gods as they're trying to flee from Laban. And we don't know why she did this. The Bible isn't clear on the reason Rachel stole these gods. But there are a couple of theories. Theory one is she was an idolater. Maybe she worshipped idols herself. Theory two is she disapproved of her father's idol worship and wanted to help prevent it. And then the third theory is that she believed the idols had magical powers and they could tell her father their exact location at all times, which would put them in danger. Because remember, he's a nightmare employer. But the reason she stole them isn't what I want to focus on. I want to talk about the impact of what having these idols in her possession in the first place caused, because there's a couple of lessons to glean from this narrative. The first is Jacob's complete ignorance that he has idols in his company as he's fleeing in the middle of the night. When Laban catches up with Jacob and accuses him of stealing his idols, Jacob's response is, quote, "If you find anyone who has your gods, that person shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there's anything of ours here with me, and if so, take it." He was so sure that there wasn't an idol in his midst. He was confident. He didn't know that Rachel had stolen the gods. He had no idea that they were there because that's how idols are. They're sneaky. So years ago, I read Tim Keller's Counterfeit Gods, which was really eye-opening. I suggest reading it. Keller explains that idols aren't necessarily statues of silver or wood or gold. An idol is anything that takes the place of God. Anything that comes before God in your life is an idol. Keller focuses on three common idols: money, sex, power. But the list is really endless. An addiction can be an idol, relationships, a career. I mean, this can go on, right? But idols aren't always easy to spot. It might be in your life, and like Jacob, you're completely unaware of it. So here's a tidbit or a point or something you can do. Make it a point to regularly pray, "Lord, reveal and remove any idols from my life." Because sometimes they're there and you don't know they're there, and you need the Holy Spirit to show you that the idols are there. And the second lesson we get from the story is that when you're carrying idols, or for that matter, carrying anything that you have no business carrying around, this could be emotional baggage, this could be stuff from your past, whenever you're carrying something you should not be carrying, Satan has a legal right to stop you. He has a legal right to stop you because you're carrying something that belongs to him. Carrying an idol means that you have something in common. The enemy can stop Jesus in his mission, in his ministry. Why? Because they had nothing in common. In John 14:30, Jesus says, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." But I love the Amplified Classic Edition Bible's wording of the scripture, which says, "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me." So this verse provides a reminder that idols drain us of God's power in our lives. They give the enemy a right to claim things in our life or character as his own. When, of course, every part of us and everything we have should be for God alone. Of course, God gives us free agency and autonomy, and we can choose where to dedicate ourselves. So Laban caught up to him and stopped him because of the idols. Jacob was on his way. He had his wife, his kids, and his horses in the back. Okay, maybe it was donkeys in the back. But he was on the road to something bigger and better. He was headed towards blessings, but then he stopped by the enemy. Idols are obstacles. They stop you from progressing in life. They can keep you going from where you need to go and being where you need to be, and they can slow down your progress or stop it altogether. So think about your life. Are there idols hiding in your midst? Things that are giving the enemy a legal right to stop you from progressing in some way? Where's your progress slow? Or where do you have progress just halted altogether? You just feel stuck. These are spiritual things we need to think about that affect us on life's journey. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's idols in your midst. God bless you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I have to go. Be blessed. Hopefully I can get another podcast to you guys soon.